All right, welcome back, friends. Yes, comparing the call of Isaiah and the baptismal commissioning of Jesus. Isaiah's call and Jesus's baptism stands as two of the most theologically rich commissioning moments in all of Scripture. Both occur at turning points in salvation history. Isaiah's call comes at the end of King Uzziah's reign, signaling impending judgment and the need for prophetic clarity. Jesus' baptism inaugurates his public ministry and the fulfillment of messianic prophecy. In both scenes, the heavens open to reveal the divine will. Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up, with seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy," while Jesus sees the Spirit descending like a dove and hears the voice of the Father declaring, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Each vision reveals a Trinitarian dimension. Isaiah's vision implies divine majesty and purification. Jesus' baptism explicitly manifests Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The structure of each moment also emphasizes mission through consecration. Isaiah is purified with a burning coal from the altar, a painful yet grace-filled preparation for his prophetic role. Jesus, though sinless, humbles himself to be baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. Where Isaiah is cleansed before being sent, Jesus is revealed as already pure and yet chooses to descend into the waters as a sign of solidarity with sinful humanity. As Brant Petrie observes, Jesus' baptism is not for his sake, but for ours. He steps into the place of sinners to transform baptism into a sacrament of divine adoption. Isaiah responds, "Here I am. Send me." While Jesus emerges from the water already on the path to the cross, both begin their mission immediately following divine encounter, and both will proclaim a message that will be heard by some and rejected by many. Yet the most striking contrast lies in the fruit of their mission. Isaiah is sent to preach to a people whose hearts will grow dull, eyes blonde, blind, and ears deaf. His faithfulness is met with resistance and martyrdom. Jesus too will be rejected, but he will also heal the deaf, open the eyes, and raise the dead, reversing the judgment that Isaiah could only announce. As John's gospel affirms, though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Isaiah prefigures Christ. Christ fulfills Isaiah. One sees the throne from afar, the other steps down from it. Both are servants, but only one is the Son.
Wow. I love that comparison so much of their calls. And I had never thought about that before going through this because, yeah, I just think it's amazing the way they tie together. And I love that idea of Jesus's baptism making baptism a sacrament and a sacrament of divine adoption. I love that wording because I think that's just so significant. And it's easy for us to brush past that, I think. But even just realizing that what God spoke from the heavens of, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased," and then that just lays out the desire of our hearts, you know, of what we all long for, to belong and be called beloved. And
We
yeah.
did. So We aren't sons in Adam before the fall. We're cherished and we're loved. We were made in his image and likeness, but we weren't divinely adopted.
Right.
That took Christ. Christ did that for us. He restores our dignity and more so. So Isaiah, right, they hear they won't hear, they won't see, there's death. And Jesus makes fuller that, right? Jesus did hear the deaf and the leprosy and the blindness, and he brought people back to life. And even with that, right, it was a proposal, not an imposition. So people still had the free will to accept or reject it. Both Isaiah and Jesus were faithful messengers sent to a resistant people, but both were put to death for proclaiming the truth. Isaiah was commissioned to speak to Judah in a time of religious corruption and political crisis, and God warned him from the start that his message would fall on deaf ears. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. His prophecies, though beautiful, poetic, and full of divine vision, called out the sins of the nations and its leader. According to ancient Jewish tradition preserved in the martyrdom of Isaiah and alluded to in Hebrews 11:37, Isaiah was sown in two under the wicked king Manasseh, a violent death born of his unflinching obedience. His contemporaries did not tolerate the word of God when it cut too close to the heart. Jesus likewise began his public ministry amid great expectation and spiritual distortion. Though many initially followed him for his teaching and miracles, Jesus's consistent call to repentance, his critiques of the religious leaders, and his claim to divine authority provoked opposition. As John's gospel makes clear, the widespread rejection of Jesus fulfilled Isaiah's own words. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. Ultimately, like Isaiah, Jesus was condemned and executed, not by accident, but as the culmination of his prophetic and redemptive mission. Yet, unlike Isaiah, Jesus's death was not martyrdom. It was atonement, a voluntary offering that reconciled the world to God. Thus, while both were prophets rejected by their generation and killed for their obedience, the fruit of their mission diverges in kind and scope. Isaiah's word revealed sin and pointed toward future redemption. Jesus's word accomplished redemption and exposed sin to the light of mercy. Both unveiled the human tendency to resist the truth, but both also show that God's word is never wasted. In the divine pedagogy, even rejection becomes seed. Isaiah's blood was the price of truth preserved. Jesus's blood was the price of salvation made present.
Wow. I love that those side by side like that. Just in the, yeah, just the way that God is here to redeem death so much to the point of resurrection, you know, to where death is no longer the end.
Death is no longer the end. Oh, death, where is thy sting? And yes, and that will be the comfort. That is the comfort for all who face death. And I hate to be the one to say this, but my friends, we will all face death, and no man knows the time or the place or the hour. And what we hope to be is ready for that moment. Goodness knows, Charlie Cook didn't know his time or place today. All right, friends, let us pick up in the next episode with our call and a brief exhortation. Till then, fides erat.